Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're excited to have you here with us today. The topic we're going to be discussing is two things that we can do to increase the probability that discussing a difficult topic is going to go well. Now, before we get started, if you haven't left us a review on Apple Podcasts, we'd really appreciate if you took some time and you gave us a review. It helps our podcast to grow and then also helps people who would benefit from listening to it to be able to find us. All right, so let's dive in.
So this week, Tim and I ran into a conflict, and as I approached the conflict, I didn't really do a good job of starting the conflict well. I just kind of dove right into the situation. And so as we're talking about what are two things that we can do to increase the probability of a good outcome in conflict, so the first thing you want to do is to start well. And this includes several different things. And so you want to really take the time to strategize, how am I going to approach this conflict? And this includes the timing of bringing up the subject, prepping your spouse, and setting up the conversation the best way you can, taking time ahead of time to really think about your own thoughts before jumping in, taking a breath and making sure that you're approaching this conflict and this conversation in a thoughtful way and you're responding to it rather than reacting to it. So let's dive in a little bit more to this first section. So in making sure that you start this conversation well, one of the things that you can do is make sure that it's a good time to talk about this. And granted, it never feels like a good time to have an argument or to approach a conflict, but there are better times than others. And so one example is, do we have enough time to really discuss this conflict? Or are we running out the door to a meeting or to something that we have to attend and we're not going to really be able to delve in and flesh this out fully together?
Actually, I think this is something that I've heard relatively frequently from my clients is that they will be getting ready to go to bed and they'll have work in the morning and they are laying in bed just about to go to sleep. And then their spouse all of a sudden brings up a difficult topic or something that they haven't fully resolved yet. And they can get annoyed or frustrated about that because it's like, well, why now? Like we had an hour before bedtime and now I'm getting into bed. Now you want to talk about this. And I think a part of the worry can be, oh, well, this conversation may go on for a long time. And so if we're talking about this for an hour or two, then that's really going to mess up my sleep. And so then that can cause hesitation in people. Now, I could see the other side of the perspective from this. I think a lot of times when you want to bring up a difficult topic, you're nervous or uncomfortable and you can kind of be kicking the can down the road. And when they're getting ready to get into bed to go to sleep, you're like, all right, now's my last shot before I have to go to bed angry. So then you force yourself to do it at that time. But also thinking, if we want this to go well, bring it up last thing at the very end of the day is not very wise, especially if your partner does have to get up early in the morning, or if you're both just tired. That's going to make you both more irritable and make it more likely that the conversation is going to be more difficult.
Oh, for sure. If someone just gets home from work or just walks in the door and you kind of spring it on them, that's not the best timing either. But maybe when they get home from work and you give them a second to kind of gather and settle things before approaching this topic. So just making sure that you're kind of considerate of the timing of the conversation.
And I think also with time, the other side of the coin is also important where it's you want to make sure it's relatively soon. So we're not searching for a perfect time to bring up the topic, but a time that's relatively soon after you've become aware of the issue that I'm going to try to sit down and have a conversation and try to resolve this. Because also, if you're waiting for 2 or 3 weeks to talk about this, it's way too far out from when it happened. It needs to be as soon as is reasonably possible. So within the first 20 or 30 minutes would be ideal. Within the first day is still pretty good. But when you're starting to push it out more past that, it's getting less and less ideal. Obviously, for whatever reason, you have to wait till the next day. That's still better than 2 or 3 weeks. But you also want it to be as close to the initial incident as possible. Now, if you're listening to this and you or your spouse has a tendency to do this when your partner brings up an issue and you say, hey, not right now, I want to talk about it later. But then next time they bring it up, you say, no, I want to talk about it later. What you're actually doing is you're increasing the probability they're going to bring it up at an inopportune time. Because the more you kind of curb them and push them off to the side and you don't talk about it now, the more frustrated they're going to become until they kind of snap and they're like, nope, we're talking about it right now. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, or I don't care if you just got home from work, we're talking about it now. So the other side of that's also very important to know that if your partner does bring something up, if you are relatively reasonably able to sit down and talk about it now, even if, like you said earlier, Ruth, talking about conflict is never fun, you want to take that opportunity now before it gets forced at a very inopportune time.
Oh, yeah. And if you're the one that says, hey, I don't want to talk about it now, then it would be good for you to then take the initiative when you do have some time or when you are ready for you to bring it up to your spouse and say, hey, I know that you wanted to discuss something. Is now a good time? Because I do think if you're the one that is usually kind of putting conversations off, especially difficult ones, that it's equally hard for your spouse to bring it up and for them to kind of feel like they're walking on eggshells. And so if they bring something up that was difficult and you say now's not a great time, then you take the initiative to bring it up at the next opportunity that you can.
So the next thing that's very important is to prep your spouse. So you don't want to just kind of out of the blue say, you know, it really hurt me when you did X, Y, or Z. And a part of the reason is because you're likely to shock your spouse. And when they're shocked, that means they've had additional emotions kind of injected into them in that moment. And then they are more likely to have a bad reaction to what you said. Now, I would say that even if the timing or maybe you have a bad prep, that doesn't give your spouse the right to respond poorly. But we're understanding that we're working with human beings and that being shocked by something oftentimes does not produce good responses. And so taking that in consideration, saying, okay, I want to make sure I don't shock them, that I kind of give them a warning. And a good example of this is like, hey, I want to talk to you about something that kind of has hurt my feelings. Is now a good time? And you're asking them, is now a good time? Not necessarily because you want permission to talk about it right now, even though that is an important aspect of it, but because you want to let them know, like, hey, I'm not just dropping this on you. I'm not forcing you. This is something that we are choosing to now discuss. But if you just kind of drop it on them, you're kind of tossing a hand grenade in their lap, you're oftentimes going to get a very bad or outsized response when you do that.
Yeah. And when you ask that question of, is now a good time? Or can I share with you something that hurt me? By getting their agreement, it just kind of sets you up for a better outcome. And that's what we're talking about today, is just things that increase the probability of a good outcome. So it doesn't mean that because they agreed that, yes, go ahead and share, that it's going to turn out well. But that's really one of the things that does help increase that probability of it turning out well. Because I know that there's been times where we've just been talking, or even me just entering the room, and I kind of just blurt it out and share it, rather than prepping him. And I can see the difference in response of me asking and just saying, hey, can I share something with you that really hurt me, versus us talking about something else and me not being able to get it out of my mind. So feeling like I need to share and just totally switching topics and being like, hey, this really hurt me. And so I can definitely see people saying like, well, why don't I have to ask permission? But it really is for both of your benefits. Like, they're going to respond better if you can prep them.
And also, if they give you permission, they are going to feel more responsible towards managing themselves, versus if you don't give them permission, they feel like they're forced into that conversation. They're not going to feel the same obligation to manage their own behaviors.
And the last thing in starting well is making sure that you are going into this conversation responding versus reacting. And this really could just look like taking a breath, maybe taking a couple minutes to think through how you're feeling, what's going on for you, why did what they say affect you? You don't have to process the issue all the way through because you're going to talk through it with your spouse. But at least for you, making sure that you're taking that breath and you're understanding your own emotions and how that affected you so that you can effectively share with your spouse. Because I think a lot of times we just react. We don't think or we don't take that breath. We just spout back at our spouse. And a lot of times that's where the conflict just escalates because now you have two people that are just kind of reacting to each other because now you're adding fuel to that fire. And when we are just reacting toward each other, a lot of times that's where additional hurts come from.
And I think this is also a point where people get really frustrated. They bring up a problem and they bring it up in that reactionary way. But because they bring it up in a poor way, they hurt their spouse. And then now all of a sudden their spouse's hurt can become the focal point as opposed to the person who was originally hurt or offended. And so then it feels like, oh, well, why are we now talking about your issue? Well, if you bring it up in that aggressive way and you aren't being cautious at all about how you bring it up, you're doing that additional damage that then requires additional effort in order to manage and correct that. And so it helps keep things on the correct and appropriate topic, which was your first hurt or your first offense, as opposed to then now we're muddying the waters because now both people are hurt.
And so starting well is the first thing that will help increase the probability of a good outcome in conflict. And the second thing that will help increase this probability is similar to that last one about responding versus reacting, but it's going into the situation, making sure that you are receptive.
So all those tips, those were all for the person who was bringing up the offense. They were bringing up the topic that they were hurt by. This second one is the reception. This is the person who is now hearing this information. And so the person who receives this information, they are a part of this equation to help this conversation to go well. And so when you're receiving this information, you definitely want to make sure that you don't interrupt your partner, that you listen all the way through to what they have to say. But then also a very important piece of this is making sure that you validate what your partner is saying. Not saying you necessarily agree with them, but saying, you know what, I can see why you think or feel that way. That makes sense to me. Now, a couple of reasons why the validation portion is so important is because it lets your partner know, hey, I'm not here. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm receiving the information that you're saying. But then two is that this is an active part of the conversation. Because a lot of times what I see with my couples happening is one partner will say something, and then when they don't get a response from the other person, they kind of can launch right back into continuing to repeat or say the same thing that they've already said. And it's because when they don't get that immediate response, once they have said what they had to say, then they feel like the other person didn't get it or didn't understand, and so they keep going on. But if you take the time and you validate them, you say, oh, I could see why you think or feel that way. That totally makes sense. Again, not necessarily agreeing with them, but validating what they have just told you, then it lets them know, okay, I don't have to keep explaining or keep repeating myself. But also it sets the person at emotional ease because they feel like, okay, the big part of my battle here was won, the battle to have my partner understand what I was trying to say. And when they validate you, the person who was speaking up about what their issue was, they're going to feel like, okay, I made it past that hurdle. That feels a lot better. And it makes it easier for them to move on for the person who is receiving that information to now start adding into the conversation and talking about their issue.
Yeah, because I think what we see a lot is defensiveness. When somebody brings something up to you, it can feel natural to just defend yourself or to explain why I did that, rather than understanding and validating, hey, I can see how that hurt you. And then maybe later on being able to share, can I share with you why I did that? Or can I share with you what I meant when I said that? Because I think it's that same idea that we can escalate things when we get defensive. Because now we're no longer on the same team. We're now trying to protect ourselves from each other. And that's not a great place to be in. And so part of reception is remembering that you guys are on the same team. And that our goal of this conversation is really to tackle it and get through it together the best that we can with minimal damage or minimal strikes at the other person and not feeling like I want to win this, but more wanting to kind of win the war together, right? It's that idea of you won the battle, but you lost the war. And so if this continues to happen, you may keep winning these small battles, but the overall war of saving your marriage is then lost. And so you have to remember what the goal is of these conflicts. That's not to prove that you are right or that it was the other person's fault, but it is really as a couple to get through it together.
And I do think that that is a major problem that most couples struggle with when they get into conflict, is that they definitely do segment off into different teams. I'm on this team, you're on that team. And then it becomes about winning your individual goal as opposed to winning your couple's goal. Your individual goal is to be right, but your couple's goal is to have a healthy, happy relationship. But when we get wounded, a lot of times what's very easy for us to do is we start assuming ill intent from the other partner. And I think this is something that happens for the person who starts the conversation or the person who's receiving the information, is that they both start assuming that our partner is trying to wound us. Our partner's trying to say this in a way to hurt my feelings, as opposed to my partner might be reacting to something, or my partner may also have just incidentally or on accident hurt my feelings. And so it's important to make sure that you give your partner the benefit of the doubt.
So as you enter your next conflict, try and keep those two things in mind that will really help to increase the probability of a good outcome in that conflict. And that's to start well, which includes doing your best with the timing, setting your spouse up well, and making sure that you've taken a breath and are responding, not reacting. And the second thing is being receptive to the person sharing the conflict and making sure that you remember what the goal is at the end of the conflict. All right, you guys, have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.